This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you and good afternoon. Well, December 5th, which is this coming Monday, is recognized as World Soil Day. The day was named by the International Union of Soil Sciences to celebrate the importance of soil as a critical component of nature and a vital contributor to human well-being. A local farmer also believes in the importance of soil, and he's collaborated with the Soil Health Partnership to talk about the practices he uses on his farm. Dave Moose farms in Auburn and has been a no-till operation for over 30 years. He also recently started using cover crops on his acres. I had a chance to visit with Dave about the benefits he's seen and why he decided to start using these practices in the first place.
I farm up here in Auburn, of course, but I farm about 1,500 acres, mainly in a corn-soybean rotation. I'm starting my 34th year of no-till farming, and I've just completed 4 years of cover cropping on this operation. I do farm with my father and some other part-time help. I have three children, and that's how I get things done.
Sure. Well, 34 years of no-till. Sounds like you've got quite a bit of experience. If you don't mind, maybe tell us why you decided to start that practice on your farm.
Well, it was really more out of necessity. Back in 85, my father was laying in the hospital with back surgery in the spring, and I really didn't have too many other options. So I secured a planting device to put on my planter to no-till. Into sod, and that's where it began. Through those early years, though, I did have a lot of help with BASF and Jim Kinsella up there at Lexington, Illinois. I think he was a mentor for several no-till farmers like myself.
And since you've been doing this, you know, started as just kind of a, well, I don't have any other options. Now you're working with the Soil Health Partnership because I believe you have seen some benefits. Share with us maybe the changes that you've seen over the years when starting to use that practice.
Well, as far as no-till, it certainly has helped the soil till. I've seen a lot more earthworms, a better soil health in that aspect. But it just doesn't seem like I was building organic matter in my soil with those many years of no-till. So after attending a cover crop conference there several years ago over in Decatur with the Howard Buffett Foundation, I became enthused about maybe taking this next step with cover crops and hoping to achieve that building of organic matter and maybe a little bit more erosion control. And certainly, as a side benefit, I think I can sequester more nutrients in the soil that I haven't presently.
You mentioned sequester those nutrients. I'm just curious if you do soil tests each year. Are you seeing that the cover crops are helping to keep some of those in the soil? And I know sequestered, they can kind of get down deeper into the soil and find those nutrients. But and any maybe yield benefits from all of those things also?
Well, I don't necessarily soil test every year, but I know I'm in this project with Soil Health Partnership, and they certainly test on this plot every year. But I really noticed a big difference after the drought in 2012. We did have a lot of excess nitrogen left over, and after planting cover crops behind that drought-stricken corn, we just had lush fields of cereal rye and radishes out there, and that did transfer into about a 5 to 10 bushel increase in soybeans the following year. Since then, I've had more variable results with that, but I do feel that anything that is unused by the corn and soybeans is going to be sucked up by the cover crop in the fall.
Well, you're doing these practices, and it's not something that you see being done on every farm. We still see a lot of tillage throughout Illinois, and cover crops are starting to become more popular, but still not on every farm. For those guys that might be listening saying, well, I'm not too sold on this, any pointers you want to make to them to say, hey, you should try it, or what are your thoughts there?
Well, I certainly think you do have to try it. I mean, you might not want to do it the way I did it because I from year one, I've been anywhere from 85 to 95% covered on my acreage, and I wouldn't suggest that per se, but, you know, generally every county district does have some kind of incentive program to pay you to try 10, 20, 40 acres of cover crops. And, you know, I think everybody can do that.
Sure. And you mentioned a little bit that the Soil Health Partnership, they come out and take samples of one of your trials. Any other projects or things that you work on them with? Obviously, I know no-till and cover crops is a big part of working with them, but anything else that you'd like to share?
Well, In general, I kind of go around with that operation, and, you know, I speak at different farmer groups and bankers groups, and, you know, I just tell my story. The land I do farm is mostly family-owned ground, and like everybody else, I hope to leave that better than what I found it. And so far, I think I'm doing that. You know, we've got 3% organic matter on our farm. It used to be 6, so I'd like to kind of get that back into that 4-5% area. It may not happen in my lifetime, but you know, I'm certainly working towards that.
And again, that was Dave Moose of Auburn, and we'll have more ag news for you right after these messages. Looking at some national news related to agriculture that we don't hear every day, the North American Olive Oil Association has filed a lawsuit against television host Dr. Oz under a largely untested Georgia food label law, objecting to his claims that much of the imported extra virgin olive oil sold in the U.S. supermarkets may be fake. And that's according to Reuters. The New Jersey-based association seeks an unspecified amount in damages. The lawsuit claims that Dr. Oz violated the Georgia law when he stated that 80% of the extra virgin olive oil sold in supermarkets, quote, isn't the real deal and, quote, may even be fake. The association says those claims are untrue. The lawsuit centers around a May 12th episode in which the host talked with so-called oil expert that spoke about fraudulent olive oil being imported into the U.S. The association says Dr. Oz failed to disclose his guest worked for the California Olive Ranch that competes with foreign olive oil manufacturers. The association says its own testing has found 95% of imported oil met or exceeded quality and purity standards between 2013 and 2015. In other news, a Texan who's being considered by President-elect Donald Trump to head the EPA wants to end subsidies for renewable energy. Kathleen Hartnett White confirmed to the McClatchy Washington News Bureau this week that she's being considered to lead the EPA following a meeting with President-elect Trump. White, along with Trump, both show an interest in slashing regulations by the EPA, including the Waters of the U.S. rule, which is vastly opposed by ag groups. White also wants to cut federal subsidies for renewable energy, which total an estimated $7.3 billion. She says all energy sources will be welcome should she head the EPA, but they need to have a level playing field in which to compete. She specifically took aim at wind and solar for their high subsidies, and during the campaign, Trump said the EPA would be gutted if he's elected. And that's all we have today for your WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Wilson.